Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Already some curious questions coming in for our next guest, because there are 47,000 restaurants and takeaways and food outlets across the country, and every one of those kitchens gets regularly inspected to make sure that us, you, the customer, is protected, which is very reassuring. So here to tell us what they're looking for and what you're hoping that they don't find is Environmental Health Officer Claudia Gilday, and also lots of things besides food, which we'll talk about as well. But Claudia, welcome.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
You operate where now in the country? You have a district, do you?
I'm in Dublin City Centre.
Oh, right.
The busiest heart of
the country. And how many of you are looking after Dublin City Centre?
There's roughly 20 of us, I'd say, in the city centre. Right. Yeah, there's a big group of us, yeah. So we have sections within the city centre, yeah.
And you're not part of the Food Safety Authority?
No, so we work with a service contract with the FSAI, yeah. So we're HSE Environmental Health Service, National Environmental Health Service.
Because it's a health issue.
Yes.
How do you get a job as an environmental health officer?
So you do a course in TU Dublin, so a Bachelor in Science of Environmental Health. It's actually the only place in the country that qualifies you to become an environmental health officer.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And which TU Dublin is that?
It's in Grange Gorman now. I was in DIT.
Well, yeah. But a great course, obviously, you're interested in this area.
Yeah.
Is this the only job you can get from there?
No. There's a lot of different areas you can go into. Like, the main job is environmental health officer, but you can go into health and safety, you can go into environmental protection. So there's a lot of different areas.
And operating in Dublin City Centre, is that close to where you grew up and so on? Or what part of the world are you from?
So I'm from Skerries.
Oh, yeah.
So I get the train in every morning to the city centre.
Yeah.
So it's just nice, far enough away from my hometown. That
very pretty part of the world.
Yeah.
I was chatting to someone from Skerries only the other day. So turning to the day to day, it's everywhere that serves food, basically, is it? Restaurants, we think foremost, and takeaways, but everywhere else as well.
Yeah. So we cover, supermarkets, we cover nursing homes, hospitals, creches, so anywhere that serves food to the public.
Deli counters, petrol stations,
the whole lot. Yeah,
everywhere. Anywhere you get a sandwich.
Exactly.
And even sweet shops are included.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But they're not inspected as often.
No, because the risk isn't as high with packaged sweets or products like that.
So how often would a restaurant or any kitchen that's serving food regularly, would they be inspected?
So generally could be once a year, depending on the risk. Sometimes it could be twice a year. And then that's not including, if we get a complaint in from a member of the public, we might have to go in again. So they could get inspected more frequently, just depending on the situation.
And can people randomly just, they see something and they can file a report? How would they do that?
Yeah, so they can go through the FSAI. They would go onto the website and they can file a complaint through them, and then they pass it on to the relevant HSE office.
Is it a confidential complaint?
It's completely confidential, yeah. So they might leave their contact details for us to contact them if we have any further questions about the complaint, but we won't divulge their information to the actual food business.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see if there is any merit to what they're talking
about. Exactly, yeah.
But generally it's a random and surprise visit.
Yeah, they're all unannounced. Otherwise, they'd be ready for us.
But you also want them to be ready, because that's part of the rules too, isn't
it? Of course, yeah. They should be compliant even when we're not there. Mm-hmm. But look, if we announce our inspections every single time, you don't know.
Of course, it would make sense.
They'd have everyone clean and not the...
What do you love to see then when you go in? I presume there's lots of paperwork and so on they have to...
Yeah, so they have to have, food safety documentation. They have to show that they've risk assessed all their procedures and everything that they're doing on site is safe. That they're filling out records, so that they're checking temperatures of food products when they're cooking them. Mm-hmm. They're making sure that everything that they're storing is at the right temperature. So it's really important to have documentation there to prove that what they're doing on site is safe.
And food provenance and where it comes from as well.
Exactly. Traceability is a big thing as well. That's very, very important to prove where the food has come from.
Are there sometimes tense moments when you arrive?
Yeah, I'm not greeted quite as nicely as you greeted me, actually. Obviously, look, no one wants to see us coming. I think once we kind of get there, and look, if they don't have anything to hide from us, they're fine. They kind of relax. We just talk to them as if, mm-hmm. you're a human being at the end of the day. But look, yeah, obviously they don't want to see us coming. You wouldn't want to be particularly sensitive in working in this job.
Really?
Yeah.
Because people are...
Look, well, they don't like you. I can tell they're cursing me. No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Can you arrive when they're flat out busy, the busiest time?
Yeah, look, we try our hardest not to do that, but you want to see them in operation. You don't want to be there when they're closed. You want, before they've started service. It's better to see them in operation because that's when they're obviously, you know, carrying out their cooking or their preparation. So that's why you want to see them.
So that means you have to work nights then, I presume, doesn't it?
Sometimes. The majority of the time we work during the day, but if there are premises that are, you know, exclusively open in the evening times or maybe only open at the weekends, we do have to do overtime where we do inspections.
Broadly, what are you going in there to look at?
Right, so there's an awful lot of areas to a food safety inspection. Look, we look at the structure and we make sure that there's no access for, you know, pests. If they have any issues with pests, we want to make sure that that's not the case. And we look at, you know, the usual hygiene. We look at temperature control. We make sure that our staff being trained, are they implementing their procedures correctly? And we look at food allergens, which is a big one. We make sure that they're displaying their allergens, that they're in writing for customers.
So legally, every place serving food has to indicate, you know, the various ingredients, I suppose, that might be.
Yeah, so they just have to, they have to declare the 14 allergens. If their dish contains that, they have to declare that so that the customers can make an informed decision when they're ordering.
Is there a big punishment if they don't follow the allergy list in particular?
Yeah, look, we have in the past taken enforcement action because allergies are a very, very serious risk.
Yeah.
So, you know, not only can you make someone really, really sick, you could kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, and people have been, premises have been sued by customers over that in the past. So we have to take that very, very seriously. So if we find that there is a major risk and that they're not displaying their allergens or they're not displaying them correctly, we have to take action then.
The enforcement order includes a range of different measures, doesn't it?
Yes. So the main one that people kind of always talk about and they see in the media is closure orders.
Mm-hmm.
We also have other types of enforcement, like improvement notices, where it's essentially like a warning that we've identified that there's a significant risk,
right. But
they have a very, very short time frame to comply. Otherwise, we have to take them to court.
Right.
Yeah.
So you come back again just to
so
make sure
come back.
Done it.
Yeah.
And two strikes and you're in. You're summoned.
Yes,
basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
In terms of closure orders, then, how serious does it have to be, or what kind of thing would result in closing the restaurant or the kitchen?
So there's two different types of closure orders. The one that people see a lot is the one with pests. So if you have if you walk into a premises and they have a rat infestation, or you know they have mice or cockroaches, or there's raw sewage in the premises, this is considered grave and immediate. So this is when you have to close them straight away. We can't take a risk of public health here. The other form of a closure order is if they are consistently not complying, and these are kind of risks that we do consider to be serious,
yeah,
we might close them over that as well. So that would be to do with, you know, cross-contamination or hygiene issues within the premises.
What do they have to do then to reopen?
So once they abate the risk, so they do everything that they can to either whether it's get rid of rats or it's to clean or to put proper procedures in place. Once they've done that, we can reopen them. So we'll go back and we'll reassess.
OK, you just do a fresh inspection.
And exactly.
Are they then subject to further inspections, more increased?
Yeah, so they'd be kind of more on our radar then. We'd want to keep an eye on them.
Right.
Yeah.
When people see particularly rodent droppings or any evidence of rats at all,
really,
it can be very disastrous for a restaurant, can't it?
It can. But look, you know, enforcement orders, as you said, there are 133 enforcement orders last year. Like, that's only a very small number compared to the amount of premises that we have and the amount of inspections that we carry out every year. Like, nationally, we carry out about 33 to 35,000 inspections a year.
Okay.
So 133 enforcement orders is really, really a small amount.
Scared of you.
Yeah, well, yeah, look,
which is good for us.
It is, yeah. But look, the majority of food business operators want to comply and they put a lot of time, money and effort into doing so, and they want to get it right. It's just the small number that, look, they either get really unfortunate or, look, we can't get them to comply. It's just continuously failing to do so.
We obviously don't want to name any places, but sometimes, as you said, there are unfortunate ones. Maybe what would be the unfortunate ones where there's just rodent droppings found and they just drop the ball?
Yeah, sometimes that's the case. I mean, when we're in, like, so where I work in particular is city centre, and you're going to have an issue with rodents.
Yeah.
Like, they're everywhere. You know, we're beside a Liffey. We're in a busy city centre. There's you know, rubbish out on the streets and all. You're going to attract rats. The main thing is that, you know, you're trying to make sure they don't enter your premises. Businesses do have difficulty, though, because there's a lot of older buildings.
Yeah.
you know, that aren't fit for purpose. They have kitchens in basements, which, you know, they weren't originally designed for that in the first place. Mm. So it's just making sure that they're putting all the procedures in place and making sure they keep an eye. They usually have pest control contracts. So they have pest control companies coming in and setting bait down and checking them, you know, fairly regularly. But it's just, if you identify a problem, if they can show us that they've put corrective actions in place, then that's great.
And sometimes in between maybe the company coming out to check the traps, it's the staff that need to keep the bait topped up, and that stops the rats coming in. That can be the unlucky lapse, I presume.
So no, not necessarily. It could be that the pest control company, you know, they mightn't have noticed an issue. Mm. I always say this to food businesses: if you have bait down, you know, pest control are going to check that. But if you have food lying around on the floor, sure, the rodents would rather that. They're not going to go for the bait. So you might not actually notice you have a problem until it's too late.
Okay, but it can be unfortunate.
It can be sometimes.
It can be rectified and they can get back.
Yeah, exactly.
And even track. Raw food where it's served is particularly challenging, isn't it? Do they get more inspections?
Yeah, look, in the city centre especially, there's a lot of kind of gourmet food businesses. They're doing, you know, interesting things like serving raw fish, so sushi, or they're serving like beef carpaccio or tartare, which is raw beef. So with that, you can't just put a slab of fish on the table there and say, look, enjoy. There are certain procedures that you have to follow to ensure that, you know, parasites are killed. So you have to freeze the fish to a certain temperature for a certain length of time. You have to be making sure that you're getting it from, you know, a reputable supplier as well. It's just food businesses need to be aware of that before they put something, you know, weird and wonderful on their menu.
So people who think they're having gorgeously, completely raw, fresh fish, all sushi served in Ireland, probably across Europe, is it? Because this might be an EU rule.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The sushi has to be frozen for 2 days.
Yes.
The fish.
Yes.
And it kills the parasites.
Yeah, at minus 20 degrees.
And thawed out properly.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
At minus 20?
Minus 20 okay, degrees, so yeah. So it's a higher temperature, or a lower temperature, I should say.
All of the lovely... This might be one of the reasons why it's so expensive.
It's a bit more complicated.
A lot of work attached to it.
Yeah.
So it's never, ever completely raw.
Well, it is technically raw. They're not cooking it, but it's the way it's prepared beforehand makes a difference. Yeah.
Freeze prepared.
Yes, exactly.
Just the raw element, not the rice.
Yes.
Because rice is a big risk, isn't it?
Yeah, people don't realise rice is quite dangerous. It's really important that you don't reheat rice. Mm-hmm. So I've heard of a lot of people, you know, they get a takeaway or something and, you know, they say, oh yeah, grand, I'll have that for breakfast the next morning, and they reheat it and they say, oh God, I got awful sick from that. Oh God, it must be the beef or whatever. And I'm saying, it's probably the rice. You don't realise it.
Is it to do with the cooling down of it?
The particular bacteria in rice produces spores, and so the bacteria can be killed when it's reheated, but the spores can't, so it just keeps multiplying.
Right. Mm. So just if you've got your takeaway, never ever just throw out the rice when you're finished.
Just throw it out, make a Uncle Ben's rice. Don't
make it yourself.
Just make it yourself. Yeah.
There are loads of questions coming in. This is an interesting one actually about tap water. Do you inspect water and how that's served as well? Are drinks included in your inspections?
Yeah, we look at ice, you know, how is ice prepared in the premises, and if that's kept clean, because that's going to go into your drinks.
Now, this is less about the safety of the water. It's kind of what are the regulations around a restaurant or cafes refusing to serve tap water with meals and given the reason that it's not filtered, so not safe to give them, insisting that you buy the water instead?
I haven't heard of anyone complain about that. Once it's obviously from, so all of the water in the city centre obviously is from True Dublin City Council. So it's all coming from a good source there. I can't imagine why they refuse.
The country that would say we can't give you tap water. That's not safe. It's against safety rules.
No, unless there was a particular notice. If there was a particular area in the country where there was an issue with the water, no, there should be no reason why they refuse that.
can you ask the lady, that's Claudia, from the Food Safety Authority, well, she'd hate to see, if there are any controls over Deliveroo and Just Eat, all the delivery people when they're delivering the food, are there inspections on how that's handled?
No, so the onus is on the food premises itself. So where I think there's talks about what is going to happen with those and to see if there's going to be further regulations ahead. But
do you inspect the food when it's kind of lined up in the place before it's taken away for takeaway?
Yeah, exactly, the packaging, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. This is another question. I've seen deli staff disinfect counters and make sandwiches without changing their gloves between the tasks. Is this okay?
Okay, so gloves is an interesting one, because with glove use, people kind of, think, oh God, everyone has to wear gloves, but it's more important that you're washing your hands. Mm-hmm. So even if they're not wearing gloves, they should be washing their hands in between. It's actually more hygienic to do that. It depends with the glove use. Are staff going to be changing them regularly enough? It just depends on the procedure on site and what sort of food that you're handling.
So if you just disinfected an area with detergent or whatever, you still have to wash your hands in between.
Yes, yeah.
That's the rule. So if you're there inspecting, you'll be watching that and putting that down as a black mark?
Exactly, yeah.
When you have to do the most serious thing, which is a closure order, mm-hmm. do you do that on the day?
Yes, that's done on the day. Yeah, that's fairly immediate. So often we actually write the closure order on the premises and we close them on site. Yeah.
And how long is an inspection? Could that happen within an hour or so of you arriving?
It could. Some inspections, you could be there for 3 or 4 hours. It just depends on the size and what they're doing. Yeah, yeah. So it can be a long day.
There must be incredulity when you say, this place is closing now.
Yeah, that's probably the worst part of the job. You know, it is difficult. You know, you don't know what's going on in people's lives either. Mm-hmm. But look, we can't take the risk with public health. We have to do it. And unfortunately, we understand that it's a very difficult part of the job. And it's very, very difficult for the food business operators. But it's something that we have to do.
And I mean, do you work on your own? Do you have to do this on your own sometimes, or do you go in pairs?
Sometimes, so majority of the time we're on our own. But if we feel like, you know, we could be going into a place that has been consistently non-compliant, we might bring someone in with us, because if we feel that at that point we might have to take enforcement action, it's good to bring someone with you for support
as
well.
Out of fear of an angry reaction.
Sometimes, yeah. It doesn't happen very often, but
yeah. Are you trained to how to respond when someone gets very angry about a closure notice?
Yeah, we have had training within the service to deal with that. It's just trying to de-escalate the situation as best that we can. But look, if we ever feel like we're in a situation where, you know, we do feel threatened, we can just step out of the premises altogether.
Right, okay. Yeah. And it's handled in another way.
Yeah.
Another part of the job are things like tobacco and vapes and the sale of alcohol to the correct age under
yes.
the legislation.
Yeah.
How do you test these places?
So we conduct test purchasing. So we've been doing this for a long time with tobacco. So we basically bring a minor into the premises and they attempt to purchase tobacco products. And
really?
Yeah. And yeah, so hopefully we're hoping there that they're not going to get a sale. But if they do,
and remind
we have to prosecute.
Us what the rule is, that the law is at 18?
Yes, 18. Yeah. So it was always 18 for tobacco products. It's now 18 for nicotine inhaling products or vape products.
Vapes as well. So
yeah.
You recruit under 18 year olds?
Yes, we do. It's usually someone we know. It's usually someone's daughter or son or niece or nephew. Yeah.
Do they love this job?
Oh, it's an interesting thing. It's a bit of experience for them. Yeah. Yeah.
Are they paid? The kids?
No, they're not paid by the HSE, but usually we give them, you know, a little voucher or something, yeah, just for their time. Yeah.
Some kind of payment.
Yeah.
I wonder what the training for that is. Acting classes.
I know, yeah, yeah. We have to run through it with them beforehand.
And there are not many closure orders. Does a closure order result?
No. So it would be prosecution.
It's a fine.
Yeah, a prosecution, yeah, and fine,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's okay. And those inspections take place again, randomly around.
Yeah, and they could happen anywhere, anytime.
It's an incredible job. But someone has to do it.
Exactly.
And listen, thanks a million for coming in and chatting to us about it. That's Claudia Gilday, Environmental Health Officer with the HSE. It's a good job, and food science seems to be the route into it.
Yes.
If people are interested. And of course, they could live in their area and drive around and do the inspections.
If they like, so yeah. Ignorance is
no
bliss, though.
There's no headquarters for you in particular.
No.
Thanks a million. We're back after these.